Better and Longer with the Fitness Show, hosted by fitness expert, author, and TV personality, Fitz Kohler. She'll tell you why diets are dumb, supplements are snake oil, and the truth about how you can earn a lean, hard, pain-free, and athletic body. Now for our favorite bossy blonde, Fitz Kohler.
Hi team, I'm Fitz, your fitness expert from fitness.com, and welcome to the Fitness Show. I am so glad to have you guys here today, and we are going to talk about what you should do when you achieve your weight loss goals. And isn't that an exciting time in life? So whether you're almost there or whether that's far off in the future for you or you have just hit that mark, I'm happy to help you through it. It's a very big deal and it's a very pivotal point in your life, whether you choose to maintain your weight loss, slide back, or move forward. And I'm hoping at minimum I can convince you to at least stay where you are, stay where you plan to reach, to where you plan to go, and then even move forward, because moving forward is really, it's the only way to do life, so says me. So, little update on things here. I've had a very chaotic, very fun past few weeks. I'm trying to think where I left off with you guys, but I announced the Long Beach Marathon at the first week of October with my co-announcer, Rudy Novotny, who's fantastic, and we had a great time. I think that event hosts about 25,000 runners. It's in Long Beach, California, and I had the luxury of being in charge of the kids' races on the Saturday morning, which was just fantastic, and as you can imagine, I live for healthy kids, so and they're silly, so I definitely bring my personality to the grown-up long-distance races, too, but I love that the kids are willing to dance with me and be silly, and they really go along with my nonsense, so that's much appreciated. This particular morning, there was a 5K for everyone, the whole family, and that ended through the Aquarium of the Pacific, which is a beautiful aquarium in Long Beach, and people ran through the exit doors of the Aquarium of the Pacific, and that's where the finish line was. So that was really exciting. And then the kids' races started right next door, and they got to stay outdoors, and they ran around a lighthouse and back, all coastal, just the most beautiful views you'd ever want to see. And the kids didn't get to run through the aquarium, but the aquarium brought some friends out for the kids. And so there was a mascot-style costumed. There was a stingray, an otter, a shark, a polar bear, and a penguin, and they were fantastic. I'm pretty sure wearing those costumes were 20-somethings who digged my music, and we got along great, and so I had an otter out by the start line doing the robot, and the polar bear shaking its bum, and it was just a ton of fun. And so we ran those waves by age. And so we started with the 11 and 12 year olds, went 9 and 10, 7 and 8, 5 and 6. And with the 5 and 6 year olds, my last finisher of the day for the kids' races was an 18 month old. So as you can imagine, my heart's melting the whole time. And we had some kids with special needs come through, kids with walker, you know, the kind of kid that every step they take is a big freaking deal. And you just want to have your heart ripped out of your chest. Go see that. Not only because it feels good and you're so inspired and proud of them, but all of a sudden you have a reality check on what your issues are in the world. You know, and yeah, I know some of you, maybe you've been in a horrible train wreck or something like that. Maybe you've literally been struck by a train and you've got massive physical ailments, or maybe you're dealing with a disease that's mean. I get it. But then there's a lot of us who just moan and groan about simple aches and pains and headaches and wah, the kids are being annoying. Get over yourselves, because there's people out there that fight for every freaking step. And, you know, I love getting to witness that, not only because I love the opportunity to be there and gush over them and make them feel like the superstar that they are, but it's a really good kick in the can for myself. And I think I'm a overachiever in many regards, but you know what? I look at these kids and I know I am not doing enough. I'm not doing enough physically. I'm not doing enough with my eating habits or spending time with my kids or working, or there's nothing I'm doing that is good enough when I see these kids fighting so hard for the simple things. So it was a great day. And then the next day we had, I think it was 20,000 people. There was quite a few thousand that ran the full marathon. And then I think about 15,000 that ran the half marathon. And then there was quite a few thousand that did the 20-mile bike tour. And so here's an interesting story. And this is all behind-the-scenes stuff. Now, mind you, this is a major epic event. The Long Beach Marathon is top-notch, first class. There ain't no complaining about any part of that event. It's beautiful from head to toe. And the race staff, the race organization, top-notch. But we had a glitch. And so the setup for the morning is that Rudy and I each took our separate stages about a quarter mile apart from each other, and he was going to be on one stage launching the runners, and I was going to be on the other stage launching the cyclists. There was a 20-mile bike tour. Now, mind you, it's not a race. It was just a bike tour, but the times were included in a combo event. So some of these cyclists did both the bike tour at 6 a.m. and then at 7:30, they lined up to run a half marathon. So Rudy and I get out there before, I don't know, it's like 4:30 or something, and the sound guy has not set up the equipment yet. Now, that should have been done the night before, and in fact, the last year, this guy was late. Rod. Ugh, I don't like Rod very much, but anyways, Rod was really freaking late, and he's trying to get Rudy's stuff set up first, which is high priority. Actually, the cyclists were high priority, too. So, anyways, Rudy's equipment was first, and he was working on that, and he was just behind the ball. He should have had it done hours in advance, period, end of story, and he did not. So, my time, I'm supposed to go live on the mic, is 5:15. There's no sound equipment to be found. There's a little box of Lord knows what, but I'm standing there on the stage, and thousands of cyclists are starting to show up, and there's information I have to give them, relevant information. I have to tell them simple things like everyone must wear a helmet or you're not invited. You must be wearing a race bib. Here's really important. If you're doing the combo event today, you have a separate start line. So leave this start line and go elsewhere if you're doing the combo. So there's information I need to provide these people with. They should have information. They should also have entertainment. I mean, that's half of my job. It's engage, inform, entertain. And so they deserved a warm welcome that morning, and they deserve to be told all the nuances of what we expected from them and safety information. And then they really deserved a super fun time. Now, mind you, they were happy people doing fine in the start line, but I'm there at 5:15. There's no microphone in sight type thing. And so I'm kind of a little pouty, but being a professional, I know that I can't yell. I can't curse at anyone. There's nothing I can do. I legitimately am powerless at this point. And the race organizers, they also are fairly powerless because they, they don't know how to put the sound equipment together. They don't have professional sound equipment waiting in the wings. So they just have to wait on this bozo to get his act together. So at some point, I'm really stressed because I want to do right by these cyclists. And mind you, Rudy and I are supposed to share a microphone and interact. And so people at my side should be hearing what Rudy's saying, and they're not. So they're just getting nothing. And so I go to see if they have a bullhorn. I start walking towards some of the race organizers, and I'm looking up at them. It's dark, and I kick a forklift. So as you can imagine, I'm frustrated, and then my ankle goes bam right into that metal stick that picks stuff up of a forklift. A mechanical one that you drive. Oh my gosh, I saw stars. And then I wanted to cry. And I never cry. I never, ever cry. And I just thought, oh my God, I'm going to die here. So I was frustrated. And now I'm wounded. I'm going to just really whack this thing. And I had a goose egg on it pretty quickly. And so my eyes kind of welled up. And I thought, Fitz Kohler, you better not cry. And I was able to contain that. I did not cry. And they did not have a bullhorn. So I went back to the cyclist, and I just started yelling. I go, guys, listen, if you're in the combo race, this is not your start line. You got to be over there. Pass it back. And so I'm actually yelling at thousands of people with a happy face. And so they did the job for me. They start passing that information back. So I think we got all the combo competitors or athletes to the proper start line. But it was crazy. The race started at 6 a.m. Guess what time my microphone was turned on? 5:59. So, whoo, that was rough and tough. So I was able to give about 90 seconds of quick information, happy words, and say go. And they came through and I was able to provide niceties as the cyclist went through the start. And then the sound guy was almost an hour and a half late setting up the sound at the finish line too. So what a debacle. But overall, I don't think the cyclist felt bad about it. They had a great time. My head was splitting in half, but it's just part of life and work and going with the flow and, you know, trying to make the best out of it. So I think we did. And overall, I mean, man, that's a great race. And then at the end, JetBlue was a title sponsor. JetBlue provided anyone who ran the marathon slower than 6 hours and 20 minutes, which is how long it takes them to fly from Boston to Long Beach. Anyone who could not beat their flight was rewarded with a round-trip airfare on JetBlue. So Rudy and I got to tell people, hey, are you tired? You want to go on vacation? Great, we've got round-trip tickets for you, courtesy of JetBlue. So it was a really cool day. So I did that, and then I got to go see several of my morning mile schools, one in Venice, one in Calabasas, run with those kids, which it's amazing how many hundreds of kids are out there and their parents, and it's so much fun. If you want to get your kids moving in the morning, visit morningmile.com. I'll get you guys going too. And then I next week followed up with the Surf City 10. I announced that race, and we had a 10-miler, a 10K, and a 5K, and the highlight of that race for me was a dude dressed in that inflatable T-Rex costume, and he did the whole 5K in it. And if you haven't been to my Instagram account, go to @fitsness on Instagram, and you'll see, and there I am yelling, throw your weird little arms up in the air, but oh, it's so funny. It was great. It was great. So great races out there. I had a wonderful time. I was there for 13 days, I think, and I flew back on a red eye, which nearly killed me. I barely slept, and all week I've been just trying to get it back. But a sleepless night destroys Fitz Kohler. I've been putting out fires this week, just dealing with necessities. There's been no niceties, but I'm happy I'm back on the podcast, so that's a big score for me. It says a lot. I think I'm turning back into Fitz again, so I'm happy about that. So let's talk about this. You have reached your goal. We're just going to pretend you're all there right now. If you're getting close to it, or even if it's far away, I need you to tuck this information in your pocket, because very, very pivotal point for you once you reach your weight loss goal. And so I'm going to rehash mine. And if you haven't listened to episode 1 of the Fitness Show, which just is Meet Fitz, I tell you about my weight loss journey. And I was 45 pounds heavier in high school. I remember buying size 15, 16 jeans. I've been in a zero for 20 years. So that'll give you a little clue on who I was and who I am right now. And I'm a healthy zero. Zero is not like, ooh, I'm a zero, yay. Zero just happens to be my size. I'm a very lean, athletic girl. But I used to squish out in all the wrong places. My belly, my hips, my butt, my boobs, my face, my feet, everything was bigger and I didn't like it. And I finally, by changing my eating habits, and then I competed as a kickboxer, I had to lose a significant amount of weight in 8 days for my first fight. And I did so. And I really kind of was hungry. I did that stupid athlete thing. I wouldn't say I starved myself, but I came pretty close to it because I wanted to fight. And I was 131 and I had to weigh no more than 117 on fight night. And I had 18 days to do that. So I dropped all the weight, and it wasn't actually hard for me to do because I was focused on fighting. I wasn't focused on, gee, I hate my hips, let's eat less. I was just focused on, hey, how do I get in that ring to kick someone in the head? I'm hungry for this. I'm hungry for that more than I was hungry for anything else. And so I accomplished that goal. I lost 14 pounds in 8 days. And that was really the latter half of the weight loss, because I had done it previously by just changing my eating habits and exercising. But on that night of the fight, I weighed in, and then I had a good snack. I remember having banana and some Snackwells cookies. I wanted something that wasn't rough, and that was all I had. We didn't have protein bars back then, or maybe we did. What do we have? Power? I don't know. We didn't have access to all the good stuff we have right now. Anyways, I had my fight, and it was fantastic, and there was an after party at a sports bar, and I got in there, And this was really my moment, because not only had I lost a lot of weight and we were there to celebrate, but I was starving, as you can imagine. I was just freaking hungry. And everyone knew that I dropped some weight, and they really thought I was going to go to town. And I walk into the sports bar, and there's, I remember there being curly fries and cheese sticks and chicken wings and cheesecake and French fries, and everything you can imagine was laid out there. It was potato skins. It was the beautiful sports bar buffet. And I walked up to it, and, you know, I had had some of the moments along the week where my jeans, my favorite size 5 jeans, I love those jeans, they fell off of me when halfway through this process. I put them on and they just dropped, and I thought, whoa. And I never wanted to be skinny. I just wanted to be lean. I wanted to not have the squishy parts squishing out. And I finally was that lean athlete I had wanted to be. And so I walk into this sports bar and I see all this food, and I was hungry, and, you know, everyone expected me to just dive in, but I decided that I liked me at that point best. I thought, screw that. I'm never going back. I am going to stay this weight. And so instead of eating all the free, delicious fried food they had to offer, I pulled out my credit card and I bought a grilled chicken salad. And then we went to, and I had it with a Diet Coke, and we went to a Denny's afterwards for dessert, and I insisted on the non-fat frozen ice cream, which is what they had. They had some other great stuff, obviously, at Denny's, but I insisted on that, and that was really a big turning point for me. I had that aha moment where I thought, yep, I'm not going back. I'm not going to gain a single pound of that weight back. And so I stood there and made that decision, and it stuck. And so how do we get you to have that aha moment? How do we get you to put your foot down and decide that, wow, I've worked my tail off for this. I look great. I feel great. I ain't giving this up for nothing. And that's where I want to go with you on this. I'm hoping you'll each have that moment, because if you've lost, whether you've lost 5 pounds or 50 or 500 pounds, it took some effort. And I know you like yourself better this way, or you wouldn't have set a weight loss goal to begin with. So once you reach your goal, I want you to celebrate. I want you to make a big freaking stink out of it. But I don't want you to do it with food, because reckless behavior with food is what got you into that predicament in the first place. And you know what? Reckless behavior puts on weight. It's a hell of a lot of fun to gain weight. And all these people go, oh, but Fitz, weight loss is hard. Yeah, well, weight gain was a hell of a lot of fun, wasn't it? You spent months, years, who knows how long, tossing your hands up in the air saying, screw it, I'll have as much to drink as I want. I'll eat whatever I want. I don't care. Maybe you sat on the couch and didn't hit the gym. Yeah, that's easy. So yeah, weight loss can be hard, and it requires discipline, and it requires determination. It requires some thought. Of course, it requires the exact formula for weight loss. So if you've not learned about that yet, go to fitness.com and read. There's an article called The Exact Formula for Weight Loss. You can go back to episode 2, I believe, of the Fitness Show and listen to me explain that. But that's basically, you take your goal weight, you throw a zero on the end, that's your caloric budget for the day. Now, I encourage you to do that wisely with healthy foods and limiting excess calories and fat, but that's the gist of it. So go read up on that, and that'll get you to your goal. So if you're someone who's using the exact formula for weight loss, hitting that pivotal moment is going to be a guarantee for you, because you will definitely get to your goal weight if you are using the formula. But I want you to celebrate. And so we're not celebrating with food. We're not celebrating by going out and getting trashed or devouring, I don't know, a whole pizza and a pie and whatever else. That's not what we're going to do, because you're not that reckless person anymore. You could do a lot of other things. You could go shopping. Oh, I love the pictures of the people from my Hottie Body Fitness Challenge on Facebook, and they post pictures of themselves in their new smaller jeans. I get a lot of pictures of people wearing boots, because their calves were too big before. A lot of people gain weight. I mean, you gain weight, it's from your head to your toe. Most people don't have super lean, thin thighs and then a super chubby upper body. It's you know, we share the weight equally throughout our our body for the most part. So if you're overweight, you're probably dealing with maybe your bracelets don't fit or your shoes don't fit because your feet have grown. So it's cool to watch people wearing new jeans or boots that zip up over their formerly bigger calves or new shirts that, you know, fit. So go shopping, number one. Go shopping, have a celebratory party with your friends, do so with fruit salad and dancing, or that's it, go dancing, go to the beach, go water skiing. That's what I do for any sort of vacation I have. I go do water sports. That's what I love. My birthday is in late May and people say, what do you want to do for your birthday? I want to go water sports. So do something celebratory that doesn't involve devouring junk, because you know where that gets you. So celebrate, tell your friends. Some of your friends will be jealous. Hopefully, if they're real friends, they will celebrate with you because they care. And you being lighter, unless you've got a severe problem and you're on the freakish side of weight and you're anorexic, you being lighter means there's less stress on their on your joints. Your back is going to feel better. Your heart has less stress on it. So it's a health thing, too, if you've accomplished a weight loss goal. So we're going to celebrate. And then we're going to stick with the formula. So people ask me, when I lose the weight, do I stick with this formula? Yes, you stick with the formula because you've created the formula based on the size you want to be. So if you were 200 pounds and you wanted to weigh 150 pounds, you took on a 1,500 calorie a day eating plan, and now you are down to 150 pounds. Well, then you stay at 1,500 calories. That's how many calories it takes to maintain a body that's 150 pounds. Now, maybe you get to 150 pounds and you reevaluate. Maybe you say, you know, I liked me better at 155 pounds. I'd like to gain a few pounds back. Well, then you change to 1,550 calories and you'll eventually get back to 155. Maybe you decide, I'd like to be 142 pounds. And now your caloric budget becomes 1,420. But the most important thing for you to know is the caloric formula is not a diet. You were never on a diet. You're never restricting. You're just learning how to eat the right amount of the size, the right amount of the right food for the size you want to be. And so once you get to the size you want to be, you need to maintain the habit that got you there. And so again, you weren't on a diet. If you want to weigh 150 pounds for life, 1,500 calories is your daily caloric budget for life. The only way that changes is if you do something extreme like a marathon that day. If you're exercising 3 hours and more, you know, you can alter your caloric intake, maybe even 2 hours and more. If it's vigorous, you can add a banana, have an extra chicken breast to replace some calories that you burned in excessive exercise. But you do not replace calories because you did a Zumba class or because you did Pilates, or you went for a 4-mile jog. You do not do that. You stick with your budget from here on out. And now with food, it's time to try some new things. You know, this is where you can move forward, because getting to your goal weight was plan, you know, the first plan. Now what's the second plan? Let's enhance your health even more. And so maybe you would like to expose yourself to some new produce. Have you ever tried ugly fruit? Did you even know there was a fruit called ugly fruit? There is. Give it a go. If you've not tried kiwi, give that a go. Try some new things in the vegetable department. Maybe you've never tried scallions. Maybe you've never tried spaghetti squash. There's a whole bunch of options for you. So, you know, congratulations on getting to your first point B. But now it's time to set new goals, and hopefully your new goals include legitimate health and maybe a broader picture in health. And so, you know, find out what you could be better at and start leaning towards that. You know, maybe, maybe you're always eating white bread. You could switch to wheat bread. You know, when you're not worrying about your actual weight and your numbers, I mean, I still want you to keep track of your weight, weekly weigh-ins, to make sure you don't go off track. But, you know, aim for brown bread, aim for brown rice, aim to switch from full calorie beverages to diet beverages, then to water or unsweetened tea. You know, just add a little variety with your nutrition, aim for higher quality nutrition, and that could be a new goal for you that you set today and always. And I've been looking after my intake for a very, very long time. But I tell you what, I'm always interested in making it even better. And so health, you know, there is no finish line with health unless you're dead. Your death, I suppose, is your finish line for your health. But until then, you should always be learning and expanding and trying to be exposed to new things and be discriminating too. A lot of people will tell you something's healthy and, oh, it kills me with labeling. People will say it's healthy pasta. What does healthy pasta mean? I think spaghetti squash is really healthy pasta. But there's all these terms, weight loss, quote unquote, weight loss, some idiot. I'm the name caller now. I've become a total name caller. So I'm 12 apparently, but some jerk on Facebook was posting this quote unquote weight loss tea. Really? Weight loss tea? It's just tea. Tea with no sugar added is just tea. It's zero calories and there are some nutritional benefits to tea leaves. But there's no weight loss tea. There's some idiot used to sell weight loss coffee. What a moron. There's no such thing as weight loss coffee. There's also no weight loss apple, weight loss banana. There's just accumulation of really good choices that lead to a fitter you. But there's no such thing as a quote-unquote weight loss food. It just doesn't exist. So watch your labels, read your labels. Maybe that would be your new step with nutrition. You're going to be even more discriminating when it comes to what you put in your mouth. And then let's reevaluate. And so you've hit your first point B, and congratulations. I'm thrilled you're there. What a monkey off your back to get rid of those 40 pounds or 70 pounds or 5 pounds. Whatever it is, you've hit a goal, and it's amazing. But now how can you be better? What's the next step physically for you? And so maybe you're a girl or a guy who's never had much strength or definition. Wouldn't it be nice to have some curvy biceps or strong shoulders? Well, you can earn that. You can focus your attention now that you have your eating habits under control. Maybe you could focus your attention on a killer back workout or killer upper body workout. Maybe you want some abs for the first time in your life. Well, let's work on that. Get my core training DVD, flip-flop abs, shameless plug. But, you know, there's a lot of things you could do. Maybe you've never signed up for a race, a 5K, a 1 mile race, a 10K, a full marathon, an ultra, whatever it is, go do something new. I, in fact, have tried some really cool things and I've fallen in love with them. So a few years ago, I tried paddle boarding. Love that. I thought it would be challenging. Stand up paddle boarding is, if you have a good board, not challenging at all unless you're paddling against strong wind. But the actual act of standing up on a paddle board, people think it's really hard. If you've got a good board, it's not hard at all. And I enjoy that. That's really nice for me. So I've included that as something I do for exercise. When I was fighting as a kickboxer, the place where I trained had a belly dancing class. A belly dancing teacher rent space and she taught a belly dancing class and I signed up for that and that was fun. I was no good at it, I assure you. It was like watching a ruler belly dance. I was the least sexy lady in the class, but whatever. It was fun and it was actually a pretty good shoulder workout from what I already remember, because think about your arms up in that high snaky position. I remember my shoulders being taxed. And I took a class, the local community college where I live, they have community education classes, and one of them was a trapeze class. And so, I don't know, I paid $50 and I had 8 weekly sessions learning how to do the trapeze and that big red drape they call the tissue. So I got to swing upside down and climb the tissue. It was just really a lot of fun. So, you know, what can you do? Can you join a soccer team or a touch football team or go learn tennis or go learn to hang from the tissue? There's a lot of things you could do to advance once you've reached your fitness goal. Because again, you've reached a weight loss goal, you're there, but you're not done. You're technically not done. Go look in the mirror. If you're satisfied, there's something's wrong, because we should never be satisfied. And I almost hate to put the burden on people because I want you to feel good about yourself. But if you're always aiming for better, you'll always continue doing better. And professionally, I struggle with that because I'm never satisfied. I'm never, ever satisfied. If I'm on national TV and I have a crowd of 13 million people tuned in watching what I taught that morning, I feel like, wow, I got to teach 13 million people today. But damn it, I wanted them all. I want every human on earth to tune in and watch my fitness segment so I can affect them, impact them and their health today. So, you know, I'm never, ever satisfied. But with fitness, that's a really good thing because you'll always be taking things up a notch. Again, you can try new things. You can do better with the things you're already doing. And so, you know, I use the racing as an example because, you know, running, walking, the running industry is now the biggest sport in the world. It's the only sport in which 50,000 people can take part in the same event on the same day. And the amateurs, the newest people can participate in the same activity the best in the world do. So if you go, you know, let's pretend Boston Marathon or New York Marathon, we'll say, is your first marathon. Well, someone doing their first marathon is crossing the same finish line as the winner of that race who blew through a marathon in 2 hours. So, you know, running is huge and it requires no fancy equipment and no fancy skills. So we'll talk about that a lot in the fitness show because it's just something that we could all kind of do. And I have people come through my finish line in walkers, on crutches, in wheelchairs. I had a dude in an electric wheelchair come through and I was so proud of him. You know, he had a great athletic adventure that day. And again, a local race or a huge race is something we can all do. But maybe you've done a 1 mile race before and it took you 20 minutes. Great. Go aim to do that same distance in 19 minutes. Start upping the ante. Can you be leaner, faster, stronger? If you're lifting weights, can you lift more weights? Can you try a different class at the gym? Try spinning if you've never done that before. Try a small group training. Maybe you have to pay a little money now. You know, I offer these free challenges online. You go to Facebook, go to the Hottie Body Fitness Challenge. I tell you exactly what to do for free every single day of the year. Maybe you want to do something else sometime. Maybe you want to go play basketball. Maybe you want to invest in a small group personal trainer. Maybe you want to get a personal trainer. There's a way to up the ante at all costs. And so that's what I want you to do. I need to be more flexible. I need to have better balance. You know, maybe you're just training for balance to improve, but you can start laser focusing your workouts to accomplish different goals. There will always be a point B in your future, hopefully, if you want to keep progressing with fitness. And then you can become that 78-year-old freak that's lean and muscular and people go, wow, how have you done this? And you say, well, there was this lady Fitz and she convinced me to never stop pushing the envelope. And that's what I want. I want some credit at some point. So with food, you stick to the formula, but you try to find healthier ways to do that. With exercise, you push the limits on what you're already doing and then you try something new. You try new equipment, you try new classes, new sports, you just start upping the ante. And maybe you even do a competition. I don't know, an obstacle course race, or you do join a kickball league. Let's win one of those titles and then stick with the scale. So I've talked about the scale before and some people say, well, I hate the scale. I get it. Do you hate thermometers? You know, sometimes a thermometer will tell you when your temperature is 104 and we don't like that news, but it's important for us to know it because that's the point at which we get in our car and we go to the hospital. So the temperature or the thermometer gave us useful, valuable information to act upon. The same exact thing happens with the scale. The scale is just a tool for measurement. It doesn't hate you. It doesn't love you. It's not trying to trick you. It's not trying to piss you off. It's just going to give you some information that you can act upon. And so if you get on the scale and it tells you you're 20 pounds heavier than you thought you were, mayday, mayday. It is time to get to work and hit reverse. You slam on the brakes. You start going in reverse. You watch your eating habits. I personally have a 2 pound window in which I change my action. I like to be a certain weight. If I gain 2 pounds, slam on the brakes and I quickly undo it. Maybe that means I have a little less of a snack. Maybe I go out with my kids and someone's offering a cookie and I normally take a bite. Maybe I'll say no thank you to the bite of the cookie. But it's always my eating habits I adjust if I need to drop a few pounds. But you know what? Because I slam on the brakes, once I've gained 2 pounds, I never, ever, ever gain 5. Never, ever, ever gain 10 or 20 or 50. And so you see how that scale can be really, really useful. And so what I want you to do is for the rest of your life, once a week, you get on the scale. Scale is not in charge of you. The scale does not tell you you're ugly or stupid or fat or any of those things. The scale just says, hey, here's some information. Do something positive with it. Got it? So the scale is going to be a part of your life. The formula is going to be part of your life. Eating wisely, exercising in a way that's challenging is always going to be a thing for you. That's your thing because you are always going to be working on being leaner, faster, stronger. And then, you know, athletes, they don't settle. I talk a lot as a businesswoman about not settling, but athletes have that athletic mentality. And for those of you who do 5Ks, or you play in a local tennis club, or you shoot hoops on the weekends, but you do it every Friday out with the guys in the neighborhood, well, you're an athlete. It's okay to own that. It's okay to own that. And when you do, maybe you'll be inspired to do better. You know, you get an athlete, let's talk about Serena Williams. You know, I think it's what, 15, 20 years ago, the woman won her first world championship. Did she settle? Did she go, okay, well, I'm there. I don't need to do anything else. No, she hit it harder. She thought, holy crap, I won Wimbledon. Now I got to defend Wimbledon. So she does even more because she's successful. And that's what I want you to get into the mentality of is, I know how to be successful. I am an athlete. I am in control of my healthy eating. What's next? Lay it on me. I am going to do better. And it's not, you know, it's not just about being a number. It's about you being as fierce, as strong, as flexible, as cardiovascularly fit, and as well-balanced as you can be. Because that just leads to a better you. And so one of the things I did this weekend, I posted an interview with this woman. Her name is Billy Bob Sykes. I know her from the health club I work out at. And so where I work out, there's three different locations. I tend to go to the women's gym a lot. It's just kind of a lazy, comfortable atmosphere. It's not that it's for lazy people. I just personally feel it's just easy. It's just an easy gym. And so Billy Bob exercises there. She's 91 years old. And she's just a ray of sunshine. She bounces through the gym. And we've always chit-chatted here and there. She's a former school teacher. And just as sweet as pie. And so a few months ago, I ran into Billy Bob. And we were just talking about something. I said, Billy Bob, would you do me a favor? Can I interview you for my website? And she said, sure. So I took her out and we sat on a bench. And I turned my phone on selfie mode and recorded this interview. And she told me that 15 years ago, her husband died. And her husband and her had been married for, I think, 60-something years or 50-something. So as you can imagine, that's crushing. And she was in a big slump, you know, really down and out. And then she had the epiphany that, you know, she lost her husband, but her children lost their father. And she was watching her children suffer. And as you can imagine, her children were probably in their 60s at this time. But she decided she needed to be better for them. She needed to still be a quality mother. And so she joined the gym. And she started exercising regularly. And she got a spring back in her step. And that has been her commitment, you know, almost daily for 15 years. And that's probably why she's a 91-year-old. I saw hula hooping the other day. And so we did this interview a few months ago. It's on my Fitness page on Facebook. And if you look through the video section, you'll come across that. But I see her again the other day, and I say, Billy Bob, what's going on? She was hired by the gym to be an ambassador, and her job is to get more senior citizens involved and give them the courage to exercise. And, you know, one of the things I preach a lot is longevity. And so I never worry about what my clients or you all are my clients. I never worry what you guys look in a bathing suit. I just want you to go have fun at the beach. But you worry about how you look in your bathing suit, and I can always help you look and feel better about that experience. You know, I could help you get your body where you want it to be. But really what I internally am concerned about is you guys not only living long because the people who love you want you around as long as they can, but for your benefit, I worry about you living well. And I know that if you do what I say today and tomorrow and next week and next year, that when you get into your 80s and 90s, you are still going to have some spring in your stuff. And you're going to be able to have fun and go do nice things and spend quality time with your family. And I ask kids a lot, you know, and I deal with my morning milers. I say, kids, Who only wants to live till they're 30? And on occasion you get some hands to go up. I go, think about that. Who only wants to live till their 30s? And then they put their hands down. I go through the decades. 50. Who only wants to live till 50? And so we get up and all the hands are still up when I ask them if they want to live to 100. And I say, think about someone in their 80s and 90s. You know, are they stuck in a chair? Are they stuck in bed? Are they having fun? You know, unless something tragic happens to us, for the most part, we have control over that. And so I ask you, would you like to be able to spend 40 more years with your family or 50 more years with those you love? And I'm guessing the answer is yes. So do you want to be here 50 years from now, invalid? Or do you want to be able to go do things with your family? Still go out and see a movie, go dancing, play tennis, go for a walk. Just getting up in the fresh air and going for a walk. That's what longevity means to me. It's just not just living long, but it's living well. And so hooray for you. You have achieved your weight loss goals. I am thrilled. I know how hard that is. And I've been there. And getting to that point B means so much. If you're almost there, great. If it's coming next year, great. You're going to get there. I have all the faith. Stick with me and we will get you to your point B together. But once you're at your point B, that's a new launching point. Let's figure out how to do better. Because first of all, hell no, you're not going back to where you were. That is absolutely unacceptable. And it's not even a consideration. It's not an option. So you're not sliding back, period. We see too many people who completely blow it once they've achieved their weight loss goals because they became slackers. And so that is not who we are, and that's not what we'll do. But now let's find out how to do better. You know, this is your first point B. We have so many more point Bs along the way. So when you get there, celebrate, commit yourself to the formula, commit yourself to new things in nutrition, new things in fitness, find another new point B. Set yourself a goal and continue to celebrate those goal achievements and then move forward again. Keep moving that stick because it really, you know, that's what keeps us on our toes. And be public. Tell everyone you know, because public humiliation is a really, really great, it's a really powerful tool that we can use for ourselves to keep us on the right track. So having said that, guys, I appreciate you listening in. Thank you so much for liking these episodes. I get notifications now from both Podbean and iTunes saying, hey, several people have liked your show or left comments, and I love it. If you have any more ideas for show ideas, this show, in fact, came from one of my listeners who said, hey, I'm about to hit my weight loss goal. Can you do a show on that? So, of course, I'd be happy to help. I can always use great ideas. And, onward. Thanks for listening, guys. Get to work.
Hi, this is Rudy Novotny, the voice of America's Marathons. We all love how much running has benefited every aspect of our lives, so much so that most of us only wish we'd started sooner. Wouldn't it be wonderful to give the opportunity to children of today? Well, you can. The Morning Mile is a before-school walking and running program that gives children a chance to start each day in an active way while enjoying fun, music, and friends. That's every child, every day. It's also supported by a wonderful system of rewards, which keeps students highly motivated and frequently congratulated. Created by our favorite fitness expert, Fitz Kohler, Morning Milers across the country have run over 2 million miles and are having greater success with academics, behavior, and sports because of it. The Morning Mile is free to the child, free to the school, and is inexpensively funded by businesses or generous individuals. Help more kids get moving in the morning by visiting morningmile.com. Champion the program at your favorite school or find out more about sponsorship opportunities. That's morningmile.com. Long may you run.